Now, don't get me wrong. Eternal life is definitely assumed in the scriptures. Choose life, the Torah exclaims. In the Gospels, Yeshua is twice asked directly, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or in other words, to inherit the resurrection. Let's look at those instances. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 says, behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And then in verse 17, Yeshua answers and says, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Another passage from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, says, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the Torah? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Yeshua said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. The Gospel of John has numerous references to eternal life, but John scholars will tell you that the Gospel of John is far more concerned with life in this world. The Master says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is to say, life right now. The Gospel of John is the mystical version of the Gospels. The urgency of the synoptic gospel message of the kingdom, repent, the kingdom of heaven is now, is translated by John into Yeshua's urgent offer of life. Eternal life in John. However, eternal life in the book of John is not limited to the world to come. Instead, it begins immediately upon placing faith in Yeshua. The Gospel of John is not so much concerned with life after death, Johannine scholars say, as it is with life right now. It takes the eschatological doctrine of the coming resurrection in the kingdom of heaven as a matter of fact. For example, in John 11, when the Master is speaking with Martha about the resurrection, he says to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She already assumes the resurrection to be true. Yeshua said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. The eternal life that Yeshua offers her is not something to be looked forward in the future. She already knows that the dead will be raised on the last day. The eternal life that Yeshua offers her is something to be entered into immediately. Thus, it's not a question of life after death, but perhaps you could say a question of life before death. Do you believe in life before death? The life Yeshua offers is a miraculous and spiritual rebirth, a life born of faith and spiritual transformation. John 8:51. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What does he mean? Yeshua offers this paradoxical explanation. On the one hand, he says, if you believe in me and keep my word, you will never see death. But on the other hand, we just read in John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. It's a paradox. It's a paradox, a contradiction. But there's no difficulty here. The Gospel of John wants us to see that the life which Yeshua grants us through our relationship with him is so much more substantial than the transient passage of our bodies that by comparison, physical death is as if it is not. When we live in the Messiah, we pass not from life to death, but from life to life. Thus, eternal life begins right now. It is the here and the now, however, with which the gospel message is concerned. Let me make it very clear. Life is hard. It is full of disappointment, heartbreak, and failure, even for believers. It is hazardous. It is a surprisingly short walk from birth to the grave. But God has the power to transform our otherwise short and meaningless existence into something beautiful, rich, purposeful, and full. He knows your name, and he sees where you are broken, and he is able and willing to fix you. He who has implanted within us the desire for peace, the desire for happiness, the desire for joy, obviously he desires us to experience the things for which he has programmed us to long, not just life, but life more fully, now, and in the service of the King, the kingdom of heaven now. The resurrection from the dead is a basic assumption of Pharisaic Judaism and the theology of Yeshua and the apostles. It is a basic assumption of faith in Messiah, that he who is faithful to raise his son from the dead will also be faithful to raise those who are in his son and with his son. But it's only one part of the gospel message that we are trying to present. It is not the reason, not the primary reason for witnessing. Because evangelizing is not about keeping people out of hell. For one thing, eternal destinies are God's business. The Torah says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. Eternal destinies are secret things, and they belong to God. Now, needless to say, the entire Christian religion has been built on the premise of either earning or achieving through accurate knowledge and correct confession, or through proper sacraments administered in the proper way, the right to eternal life. It is primarily a religion about not going to hell and about going to heaven when you die. It is therefore a religion which necessarily has not so much contact with the biblical text, because these are issues that are only rarely addressed in the biblical text. The Bible is more about right here and right now. The kingdom of heaven is now, and the kingdom of heaven is part of this world, not the world to come. It is about God's power at work in your life here and now in this world, fixing this world, transforming it, the transforming work of God's Holy Spirit, the power of sanctification through God's holy commandments. It is about relationship with God. It is about finding life here in this world through the living Messiah, godly living, holy lives, here and now. Let's do an experiment. Sunday morning, here's what we will do. We will go to a large evangelical church, and we will commandeer the pulpit. Say there are 6,000 people out there. If we could prove conclusively and beyond any shadow of a doubt to those 6,000 people that there is no afterlife, that there is no resurrection, there is no hell, there is no eternal reward or punishment in any manner. If we could prove this beyond any shadow of a doubt to those 6,000 worshipers, how many of them would return the next week? It reminds me of a Hasidic story about one of the great rabbis. He intercedes on behalf of his community through prayer and fasting. And by his prayer and fasting, he reverses a heavenly decree against the community. But as a punishment for this, he receives a message from heaven that he has forfeited his place in the world to come. What does the Rebbe do? He's forfeited his place in the world to come. So he rejoices. He says, "At last I will know that my service of God is born purely out of a heart of love and devotion for God, and not out of any hope for reward or fear of punishment." Serving God without hope for reward or fear of punishment, but simply out of love, out of awesome love, and fierce devotion to your Creator. Now, that is a different approach, isn't it?